Hey, man.
Are you okay to read, or do you want me to do that?
Let's have a wee word of prayer, and then we'll sing a few of the good old Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for this new day, for life and health and strength. I just pray your good hand upon us this evening. And Lord, it's a busy week, and there's a lot going on in the world. I pray, Lord, for those that are caught up in the error and the carry-on of others, Lord, for Joe Public. I pray, Lord, that you would spare lives, that you would open people's understanding and help them to see and to hear what's going on. Pray for the leaders of our world, Lord. I pray for all those that are, you know what's going to happen, but I pray, Lord, that you convict them at every turn about the right thing to be done. Bless our time in your presence. I pray even now, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts and minds just for singing your praises and enjoying this wee bit of time set aside for the world. Please bless Lynn and Norman, Monica and myself. Please be with Will and Pat and Steve and Colin and Frank. And I pray, Lord, for all those that could and should be here, and I pray that you would enable them. Lord, we love you and thank you. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're in the big hymn books this evening, if you'd like to take and turn there. Amen. We'll start with 355. This is a good old favorite. What a friend we have in Jesus. 355 in the big hymn.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to have.
I
No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. For a sin when Jesus found me. For my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me.
Tonight's reading is from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. The bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest of sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise of God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate for forget not, for that, for with which sacrifice God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourself, for they have, for they watch for your soul, and they that must give account, and they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is the unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have good conscience and all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you, rather, to do this, that I may be restored to you, sinner. Now the God of peace, brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you therein, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye have our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark. Well, just want to take a minute or two and open the floor for any prayer requests. If anybody has any, now would be the time to stick your hand up and let me know, so we can be thinking about them and praying for them. Just pray for each other then. Frank, he's got a St. Patrick's Day, I think his surgery is scheduled for it. No.
April
7th. April the 7th.
Cindy's birthday.
That's equally as well. What had me thinking about St. Patrick's Day? That's this Friday, isn't it? Pray for Frank anyway. He has this surgery coming up in about 3 weeks' time. So please do pray about that. I'm sure his mum and dad are prayerfully considering it. Do also pray for Steve and for Pat as she tends to him, for Will, for Mary Ann, for Christine, for each other, and pray for the things that are going on in the world right now. Things are going to be changing very, very greatly, I think, very, very soon. But as long as you've got food and you're warm and dry, I think you're doing okay. Anything else we need to do? Yes, ma'am.
Are you asking for blessings?
For thanks?
Yes.
What could you possibly be thanking us for?
I have a new great niece. I'm thankful for the safe arrival of Emmy Louise. And I forgot my phone, so I can't shoot these photos.
Emmy Louise Parker. There we go. I think that's about that. We'll have a quick prayer and then we'll just check and see. I have everybody down here for private prayer requests. We still have private prayer requests. Haven't heard from Colin for a week or so. Please do pray for him. He could be gone. You might never hear about it, but please do pray for Colin. And I think that's about that. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again, for all your many helps and blessings. Pray especially at this time, Lord, for each other, for our health, for our family and friends who don't know you as Savior. Pray for our private prayer requests, Lord, and you know what Norman's are and Ling's and mine and Monica's are. And I pray for those that are just not keeping 100%, especially Steve at this time. But Monica's more. But there are so many out there, Lord, and there's so much going on that I think people's eyes have been taken off you to a great extent. And I pray, Lord, that all the leaflets that have gone out, all the tracts that have gone out, and all the verses of Scripture and the preaching that has been heard, Lord, by this church and those others that love you too. I pray, you, Father, you would use that in people's hearts. I know there's a lot going on. We know that only you know all the ins and outs of it. We pray, you, Lord, that you would forgive us, cleanse us, and refresh us, that you would prepare us to hear your words and to obey them whenever you call. But most importantly, Lord, we pray for your will to be done. We'd love to see our friends and family saved. We'd love to see our neighbors saved. We pray most of all, Lord, for your will to be done. We love you and thank you. Pray that you would grant our prayer requests, especially our private prayer requests. Just pray especially for this up-and-coming surgery for Frank and for wee Emmy Louise, for mommy and daddy. I just pray you bless mom and this very, very happy. We love you and thank you. Amen. Just thinking about all the joy and things that little bundles of joy bring. And Norman was just telling us about one that he had there earlier on today. I think his dog jumped from the top of the stairs to the bottom of the stairs. And he thought he should kill herself. So Norman still has that fun of the pitter-patter of tiny feet.
And like postman.
And little whippersnappers doing crazy things. 372, 372, let the lower lights be burned. So it's okay, David. Let's stand as we sing, let the lower lights be burned. Blessed quietness, that'll be 340, blessed quietness. My apologies.
I am
When you're the start of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. As I read through Kings, I always like to stop off in chapter 13 of Kings. It is a very, very thought-provoking verse, a pivotal point in the whole history of Jerusalem. And that's well worth stopping off and having a wee read there. Pivotal point is the creation of the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah after, well, constant disobedience and rebellion of man. Amen. And this is just taking part, just as this split in the kingdom takes place. One part of the kingdom goes to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, and 10 parts of the kingdom go to Jeroboam, the man that was anointed as the king of Israel by God because of disobedience of David and Solomon. Even though they were the apple of God's eye and the wisest man that ever lived, they were men like all others. They turned away from God, and not just them, but everybody else paid the price. 1 Kings chapter 13. This is what happened. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam, that's going to be the new king of Israel, the worldly part of Israel, stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of God. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, and neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And he came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion which had torn him, and slain him according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto him. He spake to his sons, saying, saddle me the ass, and they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast on the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave and mourned over him, saying, Alas, my brother. And it came to pass that after he had buried him, that he spake to his son, saying, When I am dead, bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria, shall it surely come to pass. After this thing, Jeroboam, as the new king of Israel, returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places, whosoever would be consecrated. And he became one of the priests of the high places. This thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. Amen. Title for the message, if you need one, is Eyes on the Prize. Eyes on the Prize. Amen. Let's just keep going. Now, as we mentioned from the very beginning there, before we started reading, there were two kings. One's called Jeroboam. The other one's called Rehoboam. Rehoboam is the son of Solomon. Jeroboam is, well, he's one of the big shots in Israel who was instrumental in walking away from the 12 tribes of Israel because the new king, the son of Solomon, was going to be very, very hard on the people. He was going to put more taxes on them, and he said, my little finger will be thicker than my father's loins. In other words, what they suffered under his father by way of taxes and tithes and one thing and another, they would pay so much more under the rule of Rehoboam. So they rebelled against him. And they basically told the king to take a run and jump. And they crowned Jeroboam. This is one of the punishments that God exacted on the children of Israel for Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, listening to his pagan wives and allowing them, letting them lead the families, leading him into the pagan temples, and God said, if you obey me, and you serve me, and worship and praise me, just like you've done, and see the way I have lifted you up and made you the wisest of men, well then, if you worship and serve me, I'll keep doing that. But if you don't, well, I will take all my blessings away, and not only that, I will come against you. And that is always God's promise. It doesn't mean you're caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. It's better for us to serve God. And can you imagine going through this life without God? Like, what things going on in your mind and going on around and about us, what do they do to people? They put an inordinate fear in them that people will literally do anything to try and conquer. But what actually happened was that because the old temple was still in Jerusalem, Jeroboam, the king of Israel, the worldly king of Israel, he set him up a couple of idols and said, everybody worship in Bethel. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. You don't have to go to the Solomon's temple. Just worship here. And he made two calves that already got the children of Israel in lots of trouble back in Moses' day. And this became a real trouble, what the Bible calls a real snare to the people. It caused a lot of trouble, spiritual troubles. So God sends this man to tell Jeroboam to wind his neck and straighten up and fly right. And the man goes into the temple, or wherever it is that Jeroboam was worshipping, and he cries against the altar. And he says, the altar is going to split open. This is going to be a sign that all the things that I have said are going to happen. Jeroboam's not too happy about this, and he basically points his finger at him and says, take that man. And as soon as he does that, all the muscles in his arm just dried up where they were, and he couldn't move. So he was walking about like that, and he suddenly realized, this is the man of God. Can you imagine walking about like that? If you have to walk about like that for a wee while, you can soon learn about the humility. Ask your God to fix me. I don't know if you noticed that, but if you scoot back to verse number 6, it says, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God. It didn't say my God, it said thy God, and pray for me to be healed. And he did. And you would think, a little bit like Christians, you would think that us as saved souls, realizing what we've been saved from, would fly right with no questions for the rest of our lives. But we're people. Jeroboam, he changes for a day or two. He got so generous that he offered to feed and water the man and even give him a reward. Thank you for coming to preach. Here's some money. Now clear it off so we can live the way we like. The man said, I'm on a special mission. God has told me to come here to warn you to cry against the altar, to warn you of sin and judgment to come, and to go back home a different way. And he said, don't eat and don't drink anything on the way. Go one way, preach the message, leave and go home another way. That's what God, the Word of God, has told me to do. King says, works for me. It's one less job that I have to do. When all this is going on, there is an old prophet. Not a good old prophet, but an old prophet whose sons had heard everything that was going on. And the sons ran back and told the father, who maybe up until then was the high priest for that particular neck of the woods, and said, this happened. And the altar broke in two, and all the ashes, they ran through it, and the king's hand dried up, pointing at the fella. And then the man, he prayed God and asked God to fix the king's arm, and he did. And then he said he's on his way home, and he's going home a different way to the way he came. And the old prophet says, well, get me my donkey. And he gets onto the donkey, and he goes to where he thinks the man of God is, and he finds him sitting under a tree. Now, he shouldn't have been sitting under a tree. He should have been on the donkey, and he should have been going home, but he was sitting under a tree. And the old man says, come on back to my house. And the prophet of God said, the word of God has instructed me to come to Jeroboam to preach the message and go home a different way, and not to eat anything and not to drink anything. And I've already told the king. Now the reason you're going to see why I say this man is an old prophet, but he's not a good prophet. He says, I'm also a prophet. In other words, my words carry weight too. And an angel of the Lord came and told me to bring you to my house so that I could feed you and water you. I could give you something to eat. And the guy goes, okay. There are so many lessons in this portion of God's word, it is staggering. So as they're sitting at the table and they're eating their supper, God speaks through the old prophet and says, you did not do what you were supposed to do. You will die. The guy gets onto the donkey and he knows. And he's going out the road and a lion probably jumps him, knocks him to the ground, puts, you know the way lions would strangle their prey, grabs his throat and the guy dies. The thing didn't eat him and didn't tear him, strangled him. The lion stood there, and the donkey stood there, and the man stood in the middle. And the old prophet, I think maybe his conscience pricking him a wee bit at what they had done, although not half enough, he goes and gets him and buries him in his own sepulchre and says, whenever I die, you bury me in here to the side. But even with all of that, and there's miracles there, because the lion stood for hours alongside the donkey with the dead man, and the lion never ate him and never attacked the donkey. Man's sons came and told him that. Notable miracles happened all over, and yet no, we don't see it making a blind bit of difference to any of them, except to the people that had to go and do the work. Like, it cost the preacher his life. But there's a lesson there, and I hope we will see it. The first thing that we need to know, and the most important thing, and it's the reason why I like to sing this blessed old book, if we ever pick it, I like to sing it first, because it's all about the Word of God. There's a great little verse in Psalm 138, verse 2, and it says something to the effect of, Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In other words, the Word of God is the most important. This book, this King James Bible that you have on your knee, is the most important piece of literature on the face of the world. No ifs, ands, or buts. Anything and anyone that disagrees with it is wrong. And that's just it. And I am sure you could go to the doors of people that make a mockery of God and of his word, and you and I know that they are not living right, they're not flying right or straight at all. And there's all manner of stuff going on. It doesn't matter who or what says anything different to the word of God, they are wrong. The word of God is right, and the good prophet should have stuck with the word of God, no matter who came telling them something else. If you were to look at the first chapter of the book of Galatians, one of the things Paul says in the first chapter, he says, it absolutely astounds me, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, how quickly you change your minds from the gospel that I brought to you, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to another gospel. I am astounded. And in the next verse he says, it doesn't matter if I come preaching another gospel. It doesn't even matter if an angel comes down from heaven and preaches another gospel. If it's not the word of God, it's not true. And that's just it. I know there's a lot going on in the world today, and a lot of people are staggered by all the things that are going on. So many of them are in the word of God. And they're coming true, no matter what people want. I want for us to learn from this example that whenever you're serving the Lord, whenever you're living your life according to what God says, it doesn't even matter. If I say I get a knock on the head and I start preaching a different gospel, you are not to listen to me. You are to compare what I say against the Bible. And if I disappear on down a rabbit hole and start preaching that, do the best you can, you're supposed to ignore me. You get rid of me and get someone in that will preach the gospel. You stick with the word of God. And it doesn't matter who comes preaching. Whether it's Pope or Paisley or Billy Graham, it doesn't matter that they all come preaching different messages. They're wrong. The Bible says, and I think it's in Romans 8:31, let God be true and every man a liar. You can say whatever you like, but it's only true whenever it lines up with the Bible. Remember, as you walk with God and as you serve God, God is going to work in and around and through your life. He will answer your prayers. As you tell other people that God has answered your prayers, he's working through you to them. And as those things come to pass in your life, your faith should grow, your assurance should increase. Hey, I work for God and he works in my life. And you will be lifted up by the power of God so that everybody can see that God works through your life, not you, but Christ in you. You are literally quite... Do you remember the instance when Peter walked on the water? In the middle of a storm, literally a death sentence to step into the water, to fall into the sea, disappear without trace, and so many people had. But he shouted out to Jesus, he said, Lord, if that's you, call me to you, and I'll come to you on the water. And this is what God asks us to do. He asks us to keep our eyes on him and go where he calls, even if it's on the water. And you will find that many times impossible things happen. Like, how much more impossible does it for a fisherman who knows the very danger that he's got to hop over the side of the boat in the middle of a storm, to walk to a man whom they thought was a ghost 2 minutes previous, walking on the water, who's going to go past them? How much more impossible do you want to get? And yet the Lord will do that or something like it for anybody that walks with him. I remember driving a company car for 8 years, all there by God. And I got it post-haste and in a hurry, simply because I towed the line for God. You and I, when we choose to trust God and do things his way, are literally like Peter walking on the water. And everything's hunky-dory when Peter was walking on the water and watching Jesus. But whenever he was almost at Jesus, and Jesus might be walking closer to him, but they were closing together, he took his eyes off of Jesus. And he started to sink. He thought, well, I can feel the water under my feet, it's a bit squelchy. But then it started to go up to his ankles. He looked around and he saw the storm. He looked over there and saw the storm over there. And he started to go down. He said, Lord, Lord, save me. And the Lord just reached out his hand and caught him. Always keep your eyes upon the Lord. I know I say that and it sounds easy, but that literally means keep reading the Bible. Keep raking over the coals and letting the air at them. Add more fuel to your fire. Otherwise, some bloke will come along with a nice suit and a good haircut, clean shaven, or maybe a wee goatee like the devil himself, and he'll start spinning you a different yarn, and before you know it, you'll be gone. You'll have sunk without a trace. It is so important to put your faith in God. In fact, I think it's in Ephesians where it talks about the gospel armor. And one of the parts of the gospel armor is your shield of faith. And here is my way of thinking of it. It stood me in good stead and never let me down. When someone in the early days of my Christian life said to me, what do you think of this? He says, I have never thought of that. But I tell you what, I know there is an answer in the Bible somewhere. I will go and find it and come back to you. But your argument does not make me believe in God one bit less. I am trusting in the Lord. My faith in Christ and his saving my soul is a shield to my soul, my shield of faith, and it will see me through this temptation or this doubt. Stick by the word of God. Don't ever go back on it. Do what the Lord would have you. If the Lord really puts it upon your heart to do something, do it. Do it the way God asks you to do it. See it through. Don't stop halfway. I know a lot of times we are guilty of not getting things done. Well, I am. Stopping halfway and starting another project. And then that one is left half done. If it was me building the church, you might still be having carpet and old chip
what do you call it, wood chip wallpaper on the walls. But it was Norman, and he pushed on through, and I just followed along. When you do you know what it's like to know that you've served the Lord? Do you know what it's like to know that you have fought for a soul, given them a chance to get to heaven? And it was you that did it. And the best of it all was, you did it for God, and God did that work through you, and that was a hand-in-glove operation, and God was doing something in the world, and you had a part in that. That can bring to you amazing strength. Strength of character, certainty, assurance of your salvation, the security of knowing that no matter what happens to you in this world, that God has you in the palm of his hand. The power to not be cowed by worldly or secular arguments as to how all this stuff actually came here. And the wisdom to properly use the word of God to refute the lies of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And to realize one thing, that everything that we have in this world is at the good grace and mercy of God. Even our next breath, even our next heartbeat, we are here at God's sufferance. His love for us is what keeps us alive, his patience and long suffering. And if you ignore that, you are ignoring the greatest help that any soul ever will ever get on the journey from the cradle to the grave and on into eternity. So keep your eyes upon the Lord. There's a great little verse in the Bible where it talks about women being quiet in church. See, you're not a Bennett. You made a chuckle. Talks about women being quiet in church. And it says, if the woman has a question about what was going on in the church service, she's supposed to ask the man. Ask the husband. You know what that means? It means the husband needs to pay attention. And the husband needs to be about his game. Because otherwise there might be a weakness in the wife's spiritual armor. And trouble could be let into the family. We need to know. And the only way you're going to know is by reading and studying God's word. I don't know about you, the only book that I ever came across that thick in my collection is a 35-year-old book, maybe a 40-year-old book on physics. About that thick. It's probably about that thick now with a bunch of Google searches on it. But I used to think that that held all the answers for me, but it doesn't. It held all the answers for my physics exams, but not for me. And I had to study that, and it took me years of studying. And it's the same for this book. You're not going to learn it all in one day, but I will tell you what God will do for you. All the scriptures that you have read and all the sermons that you have heard, if you love the Lord, he will put those together in your heart and form for you, in your heart and mind, picture of how things really are. God will do that for you. That comforter, that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But you need to keep your eyes on. Salvation is one and done. Once you're saved, you can't be unsaved. You can't be. Not by anything you do or anything that anybody does to you. But your Christian life, every day, is a trial. And we need them every single day. Does anyone remember the model prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. I think it's way back in the Psalms. It talks about his mercies being new every morning. It's every day. We need him every day because trials come at us every day and there's enough there for us every day. So keep your eyes on the prize. It doesn't mean that everything will be smooth and you'll never have You'll never suffer a tear or a fear, but it does mean God will carry you through and your faith in Him will increase. I want to stop there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Don't forget the poor old prophet went to visit Jeroboam. Amen. I've got a closing hymn. You just see which one I want to sing. Number 64. Number 64 in the big books. That is, Shall We Gather at the River? And if you're able, we'll stand as we sing. And number 64, Shall We Gather at the River? Safe travels. Let's close your eyes and be dismissed with a wee prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of a shelter in the time of storm, and I pray that you would honour us and bless us and depart company as we have come here tonight to honour and respect the dream. Lord, we love you and thank you. We'll never, maybe not even in glory, but we realise just exactly what it is that you have done for us, but thank you. Bless us, Lord, and please answer our private prayer requests. Please save souls. Please help us, Lord, to be good children. We love you and thank you, Father. We ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Ladies and gentlemen, we're dismissed. God bless you.